Welcome to the Real Estate Guys radio program. Every generation has purchasing power and opportunity, and today we're going to talk about a great movement when it comes to business, enterprise, real estate, and get the other side of the opinion about the millennial generation. Today on the Real Estate Guys radio program. If you've been listening to the Real Estate Guys for a while, then you've heard about the legendary Investor Summit. Simply put, it's the highest level event we do, and the content, faculty, and attendees are amazing. If you're serious about taking your real estate investment to the next level, consider joining us. You'll spend an entire week with like-minded investors, world-class educators, and real-world professionals, and you'll have a blast. It all begins April 1st, 2017 in Houston, Texas. Some alumni have already booked 60% of the cabins, but public registration is now open. Visit realestateguysradio.com and click on the tab that says Summit to learn more. We spend 2 days on land, learning and networking, then jump aboard a luxury cruise ship for 6 more days of classes, roundtable discussions, great dinner conversations, and a ton of fun. Go to realestateguysradio.com and click Summit and make plans to spend a week with the Real Estate Guys and an all-star faculty on the 15th annual Investor Summit at Sea. Welcome to the Real Estate Guys radio show. I'm your host, Robert Helms. With me, as usual, financial strategist, co-host Russell Gray.
Hey, Robert.
You know, we've been traveling around a ton this month, meeting all kinds of people. And what's great about what we do as the Real Estate Guys is we have events, but we go to a lot of other events. We meet people. We get to get in conversations. Sometimes there are people that hear the podcast, and that's great. Sometimes we meet complete strangers who say, what do you do? We've gotten in some amazing conversations. And one of our ongoing topics of just kind of as we look at people and as we meet people at events is this millennial generation, right? Because there are so many amazing young people in our lives. And I think sometimes we have a different perspective of young folks because of the kind of people we're around. And today we're going to talk about what that means if you're the parent of a millennial, if you're the grandparent of a millennial, if you're looking to hire a millennial, or if you are a millennial.
Yeah, you know, the thing is that every generation looks at the next generation through a lens. And depending on who you are and what your perspective is and who the people who are around you, who are kind of the prototypes of the particular generation that you're looking at, that's kind of shapes your worldview. I remember when I was a young man, I thought all adults were like my parents because my parents were adults and I just grew up and I went out into the real world and I started meeting other adults, and I expected everybody to be like my parents. But I found people that were very immature, that were not hardworking, that had horrible attitudes, and that wasn't my parents. I found other people that were really quite accomplished, but very different than my parents. And I began to realize that each generation sees each other through a lens. That was one thing. And then when I became a parent myself, and I began having my children, I realized something really remarkable about young people. And this is interesting because I thought about this the other night. We went to the Cirque du Soleil show, and they had this particular show in Orlando had there's like five of them, a quintet, if you would, of these little, either they were Japanese girls or they were dressed up to be Japanese girls. I don't know, but they were doing this little thing. So cute, so amazingly talented. And I don't know if I've ever shared this with you, but two of my daughters were national champion acrobats. And so I saw firsthand what can happen when you take a young person who has untapped potential, untapped ability, and you believe in them, and you train them, and you give them opportunity, and you encourage them, and then they do amazing things. And at the Cirque du Soleil show, it just made me realize or remember how amazing young people are and can be when the older people in their lives really give them those opportunities and believe in them.
Yeah, absolutely. And this has been true kind of for every generation. You know, I was fortunate to grow up in a house where we talked about real estate, and my dad was a real estate investor and still is. And, you know, that was a conversation that my friends weren't having with their parents. At the same time, they were having other conversations, right? If you grew up in a household with an entrepreneur, that's different than if you grew up in a household where the people that live there are government employees, right? We're shaped by the people we hang out with. And I think what happens is that there's this passing of the baton. As you have your kids and ultimately their kids grow up, you get to be our age and you start thinking about, well, what's our legacy going to look like? And we want to make sure we're raising kids that are going to be healthy and productive and happy and justified and fulfilled and satisfied and all those things. But at the same time, it's not just about our kids. It's about this entire generation that our country will be in the hands of, and your country, wherever you're listening, will be in the hands of. And I think we have this amazing opportunity and duty to lift them up.
We absolutely do. You know, a couple things. One is, we say this all the time, how you think and what you believe affects what you do, and what you do affects the results you produce. This is true on an individual basis. This is true in a society. This is true on a generational basis. So if you think about the way you think is the same way you learned how to speak, you learn thought patterns, you learn a way of thinking, attitudes, if you will, based on the environment you're in. Sure, there's nature and there's nurture, and you know, you can certainly make the argument some people are just wired a certain way. They're a little bit more negative or melancholy or a little bit more optimistic. But I do think that your environment and that nurture component plays a big part in it. You know, if you were fortunate enough, like you, Robert, you grew up in an investing home. I didn't grow up in an investing home. I grew up in an entrepreneurial home. No surprise, you're much more investment oriented. I'm a little bit more entrepreneurial motivated. It's great because we've been able to put that together in our partnership, which is awesome. But you know, if you're out there and you haven't been, if you're kind of feeling like you're on the outside looking in, you know, and you're listening to podcasts like this and you're learning new ideas, it's that process of getting around people who think differently and learning how to think the way they think. And you don't pick it up just through reading and listening. It's almost by osmosis. That's really what apprenticeship or mentorship is all about. When you just are walking through a experience with someone and you see the way they react to all of the unpredictable variables in life. How do they react when something goes wrong? How do they react when something goes right? And so you have all of that as a way to learn. The other thing you talked about is the millennial generation and just this opportunity. And I think it's a huge opportunity. Every business person out there, including us, are out there looking at this huge wave of humanity that is much bigger than the baby boomer generation, that is getting ready to move through the cycles of life just the same way the baby boomers did. Well, if you're a smart marketer, you understand that's going to be a big demographic of purchasing power. Of course, if you are in the political side, and obviously we're in a political season right now, you can see how the millennial generation has played a role. Look at how Bernie Sanders, a very old guy, appealed to a large degree to the younger people.
And Ron Paul before him.
Ron Paul before him, Barack Obama appealed largely to young people. So it really wasn't a political philosophy. It was just, could you connect with a certain generation? And how important did you consider it, right? There are people in business who don't consider the millennials a viable market. Oh, they don't have any money. They're buried in student debt. They're lazy, blah, 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 right? There's other people that recognize, hey, this is a huge untapped market. How do we learn to communicate and market and meet their needs? How do we learn to understand these people? You and I, Robert, fall in that latter camp. We are working hard to understand the millennial generation. We're old enough to know that we're old. And we know that we have some things to offer a younger generation, but you can have the greatest ideas in the world. If you can't connect, it doesn't matter. If you're a politician out there and you want the millennial vote, but you can't connect, it doesn't matter how good your idea is, they're never going to hear it.
If you're an entrepreneur and you want to get great young people working for you and you can't connect, they're not going to have any interest in working for you because they aren't the same as you were when you were growing up. The things that we were looking for in a boss, in a mentor, in a business partner are different than the things that younger people are looking for today, and that's always been the case. Think about music. Every generation thinks that the music their kids listen to is terrible. Right? Every generation. And it's just the way it is because you grew up with a certain kind of music that you like. And then pretty soon, you know, when what you listen to starts to be called oldies, you're in trouble. Now, I'm a lot more open-minded musically. I love music. I love all kinds of music. But that bucks the trend. People get ingrained in a way of behaving and a way of thinking. And so we hope today we're going to break out some of that thinking. We're fortunate that we have lots of amazing listeners and people in our world. And we got this email that just kind of struck us and really was the impetus of this conversation. So I want to just read this email to you, and it's pretty phenomenal. Here's what it says. Nearly every morning I wake up, grab my cup of coffee, grab my iPad, and scan through news articles pertaining to millennials, college graduates, or young entrepreneurs. Now let's stop for a minute because we haven't defined millennials. And part of that is you can't define millennials. You can define the baby boomers as people born between 1946 and 1964. Millennials aren't an exact age. The phrase was coined in the late 80s about kids that were basically graduating high school after the 2000s. So today, in their 20s, in their 30s, so it doesn't have to be an exact defined characteristic. We know some folks on the older end of that that very much relate to millennials and some who don't. They view themselves more in the other generation, if you will. But just to go on with our story. And without fail, I see more than one article bashing millennials. Today I woke up, got my coffee and iPad, and the very first article I opened began like this. You can call me self-hating all you want, but I'm just going to put it out there today. My generation is, unequivocally, the most entitled and selfish group of individuals in the history of man. Yeah, I said it. Millennials are a spoiled group of finger-pointing, thumb-sucking crybabies who wouldn't understand the value of free market economics and personal responsibility if Milton Friedman rose from the grave, zombie walked to their house, and bit off a chunk of their flesh. Okay, pretty strong feelings.
Tell us what you really think.
Back to the author of the email. Now, I don't personally know the author of this article, but I do have a message for him and for you if you happen to agree with him. You're hanging out with the wrong group of millennials. The millennials I spend time with are highly motivated and ambitious. They work hard and they hustle. They have big goals and dreams. They want to contribute to the world in a positive way. They're leaders, entrepreneurs, and influencers. They solve problems. And they certainly don't expect any type of handout, but rather give as much as they can. Apparently, the author of the article wasn't writing to millennials, because if he was, attacking and labeling them probably isn't the best way to get them on his side. So if he wasn't writing to us, and of course this email is written from a millennial, it must be the older generations. But by positioning millennials as terrible human beings, it makes the older generations resent us and his article becomes extremely divisive. Without a doubt, the state of the world today is not how we all would like it to be. There are more problems than one generation can fix, so creating animosity between generations serves no one. Millennials and the older generations have a ton to offer each other. They have certain experiences and wisdom we don't. And we have some skills and a perspective they don't. From my experience, we both can leverage each other to grow faster and solve more problems. The author is right about one thing, though. Pointing fingers is not an admirable trait, nor a productive one. So, that email got us thinking about this very thing. We're certainly in the camp that wants to build up millennials and not tear them down. And when we come back, you're going to meet the young man that wrote that email today on the Real Estate Guys radio program.
Real estate investment advice right in your mailbox. Sign up for the free Real Estate Guys newsletter at realestateguysradio.com.
Hi, this is Patrick Donahoe of Paradigm Life. Wall Street and banks spend billions of dollars per year in advertising with the goal to convince you that they are the solution. But take a look around. None of their advice has worked. The number one concern of all Americans is still money. So are you ready for another way? I've spent the last 10 years teaching people like you a superior way to build wealth and financial independence outside of Wall Street. I've developed a free e-learning program called Infinite 101, where you can learn about the perpetual wealth strategy. In this free program, you'll learn how to build your wealth without a 401k, IRA, or mutual funds. You'll also learn how to establish private financing without ever having to walk into a bank again. These are just two of the many ways this free program can propel you toward financial independence. Simply go to paradigmlife.net and click on the register button on the top right corner of the page to gain instant access.
Are you ready to profit in paradise? Hi, it's Robert Helms. And if you think real estate investing means tenants, toilets, and termites, think again. Located just a short plane ride from the U.S., a virtually untouched paradise awaits. The beautiful country of Belize. When you go to Belize with the Real Estate Guys, you'll spend four fabulous days discovering one of the most intriguing real estate markets I've ever seen. With its jungle rainforests, pristine beaches, and 81-degree turquoise water, Belize is one of the most beautiful places on Earth. Plus, it's considered one of the top seven tax havens in the world. Belize property is on the rise, and many experts think the best is yet to come. But don't just take my word for it. Come experience Belize firsthand at our upcoming investor field trip. When you join us, you'll discover the many reasons we love Belize, like tremendously undervalued beachfront land, super low taxes, ease of doing business, and so much more. Get the details at realestateguysradio.com. Just click on events. See paradise for yourself. Click events at realestateguysradio.com, and I'll see you in beautiful Belize.
Hi, this is Steve Forbes. You're listening to The Real Estate Guys. Have fun. You'll learn something.
Welcome back to The Real Estate Guys radio program. Thanks for tuning into the show. No matter how you listen, whether it's on your favorite podcast venue or you're actually listening to the radio, we're good either way. We're talking today about the millennial generation, kind of the young folks coming up who want to make a stake for themselves in the world. And there's a lot of back and forth about this generation. Some folks, like the author that our email author referred to, are down on millennials, think they're a bunch of lazy, thumb-sucking folks who couldn't care less, when in fact, the folks we around are so much different than that. I like to sometimes watch the show Ellen. Having said that, I actually have only probably seen it twice in the last 10 years. But what she does is she finds these folks on, say, YouTube, and she brings them onto the show. So today's our chance to do that. And let's introduce you to the gentleman who wrote that email. let's actually welcome him back to the show. It's Mr. Sean Gray. Hey, Sean.
Hey, Robert. How you doing?
Well, I'm doing great. And first of all, man, what an impactful email. That got our attention.
Thank you. I appreciate that. It's something I'm passionate about. A lot of people out there talk bad about my generation, and I'm not defending my generation. I'm just saying that's not really the case for a lot of us.
Well, it's not. And that's the point, right? Because you can't sum up a generation. There's good, there's bad, there's interested folks, there's not, all of that. But because you're from this age group, you're in your first quarter century, you have an opportunity to spend time with people not only who are millennials, but people that aren't. So I think you have a pretty good perspective in that point of view. But tell us about the people that you hang out with and get a chance here to stand up for your generation, if you will.
Yeah, well, I mean, not only do I hang out with millennials who, like I said in that email, are very ambitious, entrepreneurial, and leaders and influencers and, you know, hustlers, movers and shakers, but I get to hang out with a lot of people in the older generation, in the baby boomer generation, and they have a lot more experience. And we can leverage that, like I was saying, you know, if we can come together, we can solve a lot more problems. And the world that I've been able to hang out with, large in part thank you to you and my dad here, has influenced me to want to make change, want to add value to the world, want to solve problems, want to create jobs, want to add value to the world in a positive way. And you guys have been a huge influence on that.
Well, thank you for those kind words. It's been great for us to watch you because you haven't always been on this same path, right? I mean, one of the things that I want the people that are listening to understand, whether you are a millennial or if you have one as a child, is that it's not an easy or straight and narrow path necessarily. I mean, you definitely had some times where you weren't sure where you were going. You needed direction. In fact, that's part of your passion, is speaking about that. So kind of tell us, you know, the dark side of your journey, if you will.
Yeah, well, if you would have been talking to me 2.5 years ago, well, actually you were, we can go back and listen to how terrible that podcast was on my end. But, you know, we were sitting in Belize and I had dreadlocks down past my chest. And I was, as I say, 22 without a clue. I had no idea what I wanted to do with my life, the direction I wanted to head, the value I wanted to add to the world. I actually wasn't even thinking about adding value to the world. In my mind, I just wanted money. I just wanted my red Ferrari. And if I could get that, I would be good. So thankfully, you know, when I was at that place and I was searching for money, I had you and my dad there. And you guys challenged me. You gave me a better question to solve, or to ask myself, rather. Most young people getting out of school ask themselves the question, like it, how I was thinking about money, what do I do to make money? You know, now that I've got this fancy degree, what do I do now to make money?
Right.
Unfortunately, it's the wrong question, right? And you guys gave me a much better question to ask, and that was, what can I build that will afford me the lifestyle I want to live?
Yeah, such a better question. And the premise of that is, rather than go to work doing something you hate for years and years and years so you can have enough money to finally buy the red Ferrari or whatever you want, how about instead you start from the beginning creating the lifestyle you want? And maybe you don't get the Ferrari out of the gate, but it's not about the Ferrari. It's about what that lifestyle is going to look like. The freedom, the places you want to go, the people you want to hang out with. You don't have to wait 20 or 30 or 40 years for that to happen.
You definitely don't. You can, you know, find ways to build streams of income around the lifestyle you want to live. And a large part of me going on that journey was surrounding myself with people who already thought like that. And it's hard finding other young people who do think like that because they haven't had the exposure to the real world or the exposure to the entrepreneur lifestyle, because our whole lives we were on a track and a part of a system, some sort of structure. And you guys exposed me to an entirely different world.
Well, and you took the charge and went and spent time with people who were from a different generation, different way of thinking, but accomplished and were eager to learn. At the same time, I remember when we went to the Brian Tracy event, you were there talking to a whole group of younger folks, and you ended up going out with this group of, I don't know, 15 or 20 millennial-aged folks, and all of you were interested and dynamic and inquisitive. And talk about that side of it, getting people together.
Yeah, that was an incredible experience. And again, like I said in that email, the millennials that I'm hanging out with are those people. If you put yourself in the right environments, you're going to meet other people, like-minded people. And at the Brian Tracy event, there was tons of millennials there.
Well, let's stop there for a minute, because that's just like kind of a little clue. Where do you find the kind of folks you want to spend time with? It's probably not at the pool hall. Right? No offense to guys that like beer and billiards. You know, I'm one of those guys. But that's not where I go to find long-lasting, meaningful relationships in my life. You can go blow off steam with a bunch of your college buddies or a bunch of your high school friends, and that's fine. But if you really want to go places in your life, you got to start hanging around people that are doing the kinds of things you want to do with your life. So anyway, not to interrupt. So getting around people is great, but you also have this challenge when you're around people who don't necessarily think that way, right? You get lumped into a group of people, millennials, and there is the author you're talking about who has that perspective that you guys are a bunch of, you know, lazy, no value add folks. We don't share that perspective, but generally when you find there is that perspective out there, and as you said, you see an article almost every day about that, it's got to come from somewhere. Where do you think millennials are getting that reputation?
Well, it's really a product of the people they're spending time around. And I get it because I was in college and that is what's on your mind. The parties, the drinking, the girls, you know, the living for the weekend. And it's easy to stay in that because it's comfortable. You know, when I'm out on the road and I'm talking with people at all kinds of different live events, they always ask me what my biggest piece of advice for them is. And I always say, change the people you're around, because like what Russ was saying a second ago, the way you think and the way you behave is really a product of the people that you're spending time with. They're a huge influence on you. It's easier said than done changing the people you're around because you have fun with your friends. You like your friends. And it's not that they're bad people. It's just the values don't align. The direction that you want to head in life isn't necessarily the same direction that they're headed. A lot of times it's family members too who don't have that same vision. And you don't necessarily have to cut people out of your life entirely. I like to say you just pick and choose what you allow them to influence you on. You change the dynamic of that relationship. But at the same time, it's hard to not allow people to influence you when you're around them. So going to these events where other entrepreneurial-minded young people are is hands down, I believe, the most critical thing you can do to accelerate your success.
Well, such a good point. And congratulations for recognizing that early, right? Jim Rohn, who you referred to in your email, of course, Jim talks about limiting your association. You don't have to cut out your association, but you always ask yourself, the people that are around me, what do they have me thinking? Where do they have me going? And is that okay? And if it's not, rather than spend a day with someone, spend a couple hours. Rather than spend a week with certain family members, spend a weekend, right? You start to limit those associations and recognize that, you know, not everything is about achievement and success and going places in the next level, but you've got to have enough of that in your life that it drives you. And so that's a great, great distinction.
So I'm going to chime in here because I have an observation and a thought, and especially if you're part of that millennial generation, or, you know, if you're like me, you're a parent of millennial and you're trying to understand that perspective of not being motivated. I think a lot of times people mistake confusion. They mistake being intimidated. They mistake discouragement for being unmotivated. And it isn't that I don't believe young people are not motivated. I think that the world has changed so fast. You know, you see these things where people say, well, you know, when I was in college, I worked my way through college and blah, blah, blah. Okay, well, that's cool because you could make $4 an hour and college cost $600 a quarter. But today you can make $15 an hour and college costs $10,000 a quarter. It's a very different mountain to climb. When you graduated out into an economy, there were working class jobs. There were things you could do to get on the ladder. You know, when you go out there and somebody says, well, you need to have experience. Well, I don't have any experience. We'll come back when you do. Well, how can I get experience if you don't hire me? That's an age old problem. But there used to be more entry level jobs and they aren't there. I mean, there's low level jobs, but they aren't an entree into something better. There's low-level jobs and there's high-level jobs and there's not much in between. This is a problem. This is what Robert Kiyosaki has been talking about for the longest time, this long-term trend of the destruction of the middle class. You have the upper echelon of people who have assets and are able to grow their assets in financial markets, and then you have the lower-level people who are basically serving them at the coffee shop or the restaurant or the laundromat or the auto dealership or whatever it is, and those in-between jobs have all gone offshore. And so imagine yourself now being a young person graduating into a world where the gap between the life you want to have and where you are, that gap has grown. And so you used to be able to say, okay, I can jump that gap. I can see that happening for myself. I can see the next level up. But now when you go to reach for that next rung, it's not 1 or 2 feet above you. It's 10 feet above you. And you're like, oh my God, I think I'll just go have a beer. I think I'll just hang out and hope somebody comes up with an answer. And of course, that's not the answer, but to call people lazy and to berate them when in fact what they need to do is be encouraged and shown the way. And again, I can tell you on the other side of it, part of the challenge is how do you help them? Now, fortunately, I'm in an entrepreneurial environment. I hang out with entrepreneurs. I'm an entrepreneur. I'm kind of used to solving those kind of problems. But I also know from having worked with a lot of people that aren't entrepreneurial in their thinking yet, haven't developed that, they really need somebody to show them a structure. That's why people go get jobs. If people knew how to create a structure out of nothing and then create a business that produced a profit and could own it and work in it, they would, more people would do that. But many people do not know how to do that. And because they don't know how to do that, they need to go work for someone else who's figured that out. And again, those things don't exist. My point in all of that is when Sean first got out of college, rather than be down on him for where he was at because he was depressed, he was 22 without a clue. I mean, he created the label, so I'm not labeling him. That was his self-description, but it was largely accurate. And I felt like the most important thing I could do for him was not preach at him, not talk to him about my life and what I was doing when I was his age and make him feel all the more inadequate. I just started trying to pull him into a world where he could see other people that were closer to his age that were having a degree of success. And I knew because of my travels and the crowd I hang in, there's a lot of young people doing amazing things. And when he got a chance to see some of those, and Sean, correct me if I'm wrong, a belief level came up. It went from like, oh my goodness, I don't have to be 55 years old to do this. I can see somebody who's 26, 27, 30 years old. I'm 22. I can see that. It was the same thing for me. I went to work with my uncle who was only 12 years older than me when I was 20 years old. He believed in me. He helped me develop enough potential that I could actually go out in the real world and make it on my own as a sales guy. I would have never been able to do that, I don't believe, without my uncle believing in me. I'll be forever thankful to him. And I think that we as an older generation in our enlightened self-interest really need to take the time to equip the younger generation. Because guess what? They're the ones going to be carrying the freight when these old bodies break down, and we need people looking after it. So I'm counting on you millennials out there.
Well, absolutely. And you build people up and give them opportunity and give them choice, and the right ones are going to step up. It doesn't mean everyone's going to make the turn. It's easy to get discouraged in this kind of economy. The jobs we're adding aren't the right jobs. They aren't exciting jobs. And it's very daunting to be a young person and have to start your own business. Now, people do it and they do it successfully, and it's great. You start to collaborate with folks who feel the same way, feel the same discouragement, but see that there's a bigger tomorrow out there. Amazing things can happen. Now, Sean, you've gone around some of these people and you've really been able to spend some time with some extraordinary millennials.
Absolutely, some extraordinary millennials, and a lot of them I met in your guys' world. And one thing that I want to say to the young people listening right now is that, do you hear this right here, that we're, the things that Russ and Robert are saying? The older generation wants to help us. You know, when I first got started, you know, as a young person trying to expose myself to this world and hang out and talk in this world that I had no experience in, it was scary. It was like, who's going to take me seriously? I'm young. Like, I don't have much value to add. Who's going to take me seriously? But in actuality, that wasn't my own limiting belief, because there's guys like you out there who want to help us. So I started turning that into an advantage. You know, leveraging the fact that I was young, that I did have skills and things and a perspective and value to add to the older generation. And by leading with value to the older generation, it in turn, they wanted to help me even more. So then I started getting into relationships like you're talking about with some amazing people, guys like Ken McElroy, guys like Andy Tanner, Simon Black, a lot of the people in your guys' world who have a heart for building up our generation.
Yeah, and of course, and not everybody feels that way, but a lot of the right people do. And here's the thing. If you're a millennial and you're downtrodden, or if you, you know, are the parent, we talked to a lot of folks just a couple of weeks ago at our syndication event. There were more than a handful of folks who were saying, wow, you know, I'm in this situation where my kid, you know, he's graduated high school or college. He doesn't have a lot of clarity. Where does he go? What does he do? How do you figure out clarity? We'll talk about that when we come back. We're talking about the millennial generation passing the torch to the next group of folks who are going to hopefully have it burn bigger and brighter. You're tuned to the Real Estate Guys radio program. I'm your host, Robert Helms.
Need help with your real estate investment portfolio? Check out the resources page at realestateguysradio.com.
Are you achieving everything you want in life? What if there was a time-tested way for you to get everything you've dreamed of? The most successful people in life set goals and keep themselves accountable. But how? The good news is that it's not rocket science. You too can learn the skills and unleash the motivation that will create success in your life. And now is the time. Hi, this is Robert Helms. I'd like to personally invite you to attend Create Your Future, the 2017 Goals Retreat, January 6th through 8th in beautiful San Diego, California. This unique weekend has been called phenomenal, inspirational, and life-changing by the hundreds of people that have attended. Find out more at realestateguysradio.com and click events or call 888-489-7723, extension 18. Get your life back on track physically, spiritually, and financially. Attend the 2017 Goals Retreat on the first weekend of the new year. Click events at realestateguysradio.com to register. This is no dress rehearsal. Live the life you were meant to. Visit realestateguysradio.com or call 888-489-7723, extension 18, today.
Hi, this is Chris Martinson, author of Prosper, and you are listening to The Real Estate Guys.
Welcome back to The Real Estate Guys radio program, heard every weekend on this great radio station all the time at realestateguysradio.com. We're talking about unleashing the millennial mind, a world of opportunity out there for the folks that want to take the torch. Lots of great stuff. We'll return to our conversation with Sean Gray in just a moment. Right after we play Real Estate Trivia, your chance to win a prize by knowing today's Real Estate Trivia question. Just a minute, I'll ask you the question. It has something to do with millennials and real estate, believe it or not. And as soon as you think you know the answer, send us your best guess to trivia@realestateguysradio.com. trivia@realestateguysradio.com. Include your name and your mailing address, because if you're the winner, we're going to send you a copy of Ken McElroy's great book, The Sleeping Giant. This is one of my favorite books that Ken McElroy has written. And since Sean talked about Ken, we'll go ahead and send this out to you. It is not a real estate book, but it's about young entrepreneurs and stories of 20 different young entrepreneurs that will teach you lots of great lessons. That could be yours if you know today's real estate trivia question. Last week on the show, we were talking about protecting the assets you acquire, and we asked this: name the only U.S. state without any national park system units, meaning there's no parks or seashores or historic sites or battlefields or memorials or monuments, none of that. There's only one state in the union that doesn't have anything that falls under the national park system, and the answer is the state of Delaware. Here's our real estate trivia question for this week. Speaking of U.S. states, which U.S. state has the most millennials per capita? Now, I know that might be kind of hard to define because we haven't exactly defined millennials, but the research is pretty clear. There's one area of the U.S., one state in particular, that has the highest number of young people per capita. If you think you want to guess what that is, send us an email with your name, the answer, and your mailing address to trivia@realestateguysradio.com. And you could be the proud owner of The Sleeping Giant by Ken McElroy. That's today's real estate trivia question. We're talking with an amazing young man, Sean Gray, who, Russ, you have seen grow up since he was fairly young.
Yeah. He's my youngest child, and you learn a lot by being a parent, like any other job. And I like to believe that I learned as I went along, and hopefully, you know, Sean was the beneficiary of some of that. So, but you know, every child is different. And as a parent, you know, you try to help them develop their own unique individual potential. So I didn't necessarily have an agenda, other than to get him unstuck. One of the things that I like to do in life is work with people who are trying to get to a destination, wherever that destination is. As a financial strategist, someone is trying to unlock the potential of their balance sheet. When I work in business, someone is trying to help someone unlock the potential of their relationships, their time, their talent, whatever infrastructure and money and credit lines and so on that they have to work with. You know, as a parent and a developer of a human being, and when we coach people who are entrepreneurs, the thought processes, the limiting beliefs Sean mentioned that people get in their own mind. And of course, I have them too, right? I mean, there's a lot of people, a ton of people, most people, in fact, that are more accomplished than me. But this is just an area that I really like to pay attention to. And I feel like if someone is out there who is trying to advance their life, who has desires, dreams, ambitions, and they're beginning to move towards it, then you want to help them get what I call unstuck, right? You're going to push to your limit. You want to get unstuck. Sean's case, he'd gone into a little bit of a retreat, but that retreat was because the barrier was like beating his head against a brick wall. That's at least the way I saw it. The idea was, what? How can I come alongside him in such a way to help him get unstuck? And I think the hardest thing and the easiest thing was realizing I wasn't the answer. A lot of times as parents, we think that we have to be the answer, and it bruises our egos, especially if you have any level of accomplishment or any type of competitive nature. You know, you want to be the man. I mean, it's like, hey, it's my kid. I'm the man, right? But the reality is there's so many people out there better than me in certain areas, and I just knew Sean needed more than I had to give. And the one thing that I felt like I had to work with when I was trying to unleash the power of what I had to work with to give something of value into Sean's life, and it was my network, it was my friends, it was you, Robert, and all the people, the wonderful people that we've had a chance to get to know in our career together, and to be able to watch Sean go from being that little 8-year-old running around on the summit at sea. I mean, I remember one time at the beginning, at the goals retreat, you know, I wanted to get him used to getting in front of people, and I think he was probably 10 years old, and we put him up in the front of the room at goals, and I thought he had it, but he didn't, and he choked, and everybody was so supportive, and it was okay, and it didn't go exactly the way I thought it would go, but I wanted him to have the opportunity. And now today, I look at how he's blossomed into a public speaker. I've certainly watched him evolve in his ability to articulate himself when he's at the microphone or on a video. I look at how he is forming networks himself, and he is bringing people in from the older generation, but bridging the gap between old and new, just like what he's talking about, to see people begin to work with each other. And the other thing is how much he's taught me. Because I really have wanted to try to understand the millennial generation, the millennial mind. I feel like on the show, we need to be able to reach that segment of the audience better. And that's been a challenge. I mean, you can tell yourself, oh, I understand how these people that are 30 years younger than me think, but I don't. So the only way I know how to do that is to try to hang out with them and change the people I hang around with. And Sean and his friends have been so gracious. You know, I'm just an old fart, and they let me hang around with them, and we laugh and we goof off together. And it's great because it isn't just business. It isn't just philosophical, deep philosophical discussions. It's just hanging around and doing life together. But you're dealing with people who are ambitious and committed to personal development. And of course, you know, out of that grows starting businesses together, making investments together, and then investing in other people together. And that's a lot of fun.
Well, here's the age old thing for any parent. Every parent, I'm going to suppose, I hope so, wants their kids to do better than them in life. That's what we want. We want our kids to have more, to be more, to develop further, all that. And yet at the same time, to your point, you can't necessarily be the person to teach them to be more than you are. So it's hard to let go of that. At the same time, if you do it right, they're going to want to hang out with you, right? We hang out with Sean a lot and his friends and a lot of those folks. And it's great to have that energy and that enthusiasm, but it takes getting to the point where you recognize it. I can see how a young person today would get out of college and the only jobs available is some burger joint. And before long, they're like, really? This is my life? You went through that, Sean, and you kind of had this floating in outer space moment, getting out of college in a very structured environment, right? College, very structured for 4 years, and then boom, you're done. How did you navigate all that?
Well, I surrounded myself with the right group of people, you know, and again, back to you guys introducing me to that world. And for the record, Pops, I think you're the man. I didn't necessarily before, but it was before I was introduced to this world, right? So that was a big part of it.
So there's a message for your parents. Your kids will come around eventually.
It's true. But how I got momentum and got on that right path and got unstuck, as we're talking about, was I developed clarity. And you mentioned it earlier, and that's one of my favorite words. And I really feel that that is the thing that holds most young people back. They don't have clarity. They aren't able to see the big picture, the big vision. And it's one thing when, you know, the 40, 50, 60-year-old guy jumps up there and he says, oh, I built this multi-million-dollar business. And it's so far out down the road, it's hard to relate and see the first steps to get going.
Right.
So what I'm trying to do is trying to bridge that gap, you know, because you guys have introduced me to this world. I can speak boomer, but I can also speak millennial. I'm not that far removed. I like to say I'm generationally bilingual. So the thing that has been the momentum for me has been every day getting more and more clear on what it is that I want to add to the world, my internal and external mission, and the value I want to add to the world, the lifestyle I want to live. And clarity is it's hard to develop, and it's not something that you just get overnight or attending one workshop or reading one book, although that's a great start. But it's immersing yourself in the environments, getting as much exposure, having as many experiences as possible. The older generation isn't going to come into your house and grab you off the couch, or any mentor isn't going to come in and grab you off the couch and say, come on, let's go. I want to show you the world. For some people, that might be the case. Luckily, I had my dad there who was a little bit of that for me, but I still had to, you know, make the choice and make the effort and the money and time investment into still getting around those environments. And not just getting in those environments, but when I'm in those environments, being careful to make sure that I'm adding value and not just sucking from people. You know, people ask me, how did you get into a lot of these relationships? A lot of it was I looked for ways to add value. And when given the opportunities, I would ask great questions, not just ask questions just to pretend like I'm engaged, but really asking great questions that was drawing out the great answers that I was looking for.
Yeah. You know, your dad always says, if you want good answers, you have to ask good questions. And it does start with that. And the thing about clarity is, as you change, your goals, your ideas, your passions are going to change or morph or take different directions. And part of it in life is that we can't script it. We often talk about this. You can have an idea of where you're going, but you can't script running into the right relationship or being offered the right opportunity or discovering the next great deal. That stuff just kind of happens. But if you're not clear, you don't know that it's happening, right? It's that whole thing we talk about with personal investment philosophy. If you don't have your personal investment philosophy figured out as a real estate investor, any deal looks like it could be a good deal. As soon as you're clear, 99% of deals don't seem like they're good deals for you because they're not, which is a tremendous time saver. And you can focus on the one that is because you're clear about it.
Well, you know, the way I describe it to people is if you're putting together a jigsaw puzzle and you've got pieces and you're trying to figure out, especially if you've got pieces for more than one puzzle and you're trying to put together a particular puzzle, if you don't have the cover that shows the finished product to look at, to know where things fit together or if they fit in at all, then every piece looks good or every piece doesn't look good depending on your perspective. So it's that clarity of vision. And I think, you know, Sean had at your goals retreat, Robert, that real breakthrough. You know, you go along and you're seeking clarity and all of a sudden you can have a thing where you just compress time frames and you get a lot done in a short period of time. One of the very first things that he went through coming out of his 22 without a clue, getting out of college, literally within 2 weeks, he was in that weekend retreat in San Diego.
Well, let's talk about that for a minute, because my memory of that is you showing up and making an all-day drive to get there. You've got your dreadlocks, and the first thing you did is show up and asked if you could help. You and your buddy were there, and you helped run cords and speakers the day before the event. We're setting the whole room up and all that. So immediately adding value. Yeah, you were 22 without a clue out in outer space with your dreadlocks, and people want to judge you by the way you look. I'm judging you by the fact that you didn't come in and say, where's the bar? You came in and said, can I help?
Well, I didn't have much to give, so I offered what I had, and that was just my energy and my effort. I came in with a great attitude and offered to help you guys in any way I could because I just wanted to be around you guys. I wanted to hang out in your world. You have to give something. You can't just stay there and take because, as you guys say, time will either promote you or expose you. So leading with value is definitely how I got into not just maintain the relationship with you guys, but a lot of the other relationships that I've been in.
Now, you have to have an open mind to go through something like the goals retreat. And so talk about that part. You started out with a perspective and then you played full out. The weekend, you went through the exercises, you were introspective, you spent some time. As your point earlier, you can't get all the answers in one weekend, but talk about the process of starting to get that clarity.
Yeah, I think a limiting belief, I would say, for millennials and a lot of young people is our ego. We don't want to be wrong. We like to think that we have all the answers. I remember being 17, thought I had life figured out, you know, and then as you get older, you start to realize that there's still a ton to learn. So, you know, coming into the goals retreat, I had to set aside, you know, my ego and the fact that, you know, I don't have it all figured out, kind of be vulnerable and say, oh, hey, I am a little bit lost. I need some guidance. I need some help. And that's hard to do as a young person, but the sooner that you can do it, you know, one of the things that I've talked about with my dad is that, you know, most people get it, whatever it is, they figure it out. Some never do, but majority of people do. And some get it earlier in life and some get it later in life, right? And the ones who are great and able to have huge accomplishments and have that success or the, you know, while they're young and accomplish a lot of things are the ones who get it early. Getting it means getting that clarity, figuring out what that purpose is, what that bigger mission and vision is, because at the end of the day, chasing a paycheck or plugging into somebody else's system, you're going to wake up 10 or 15 years down the road. And I see it all the time with my friends. I'm naturally drawn to older people. I hang out with older people, being the youngest of six kids. And I see them saying that, you know, they wake up 5-10 years down the road in their corporate job and they're like, man, this is not where I expected to be. And the reason why is because they didn't have clarity when they were first starting out. They didn't take the time to, in between jumping from one system into the next, take the time, step back, look at the big picture, create their future, design the lifestyle they want to live, and then go to work on building that.
We're talking with Sean Gray about the millennial generation, getting clarity of things. This is all good stuff that really applies to all of us. More when we come back. You're tuned to the Real Estate Guys radio program. I'm your host, Robert Helms.
Live nationwide, you're listening to the Real Estate Guys. Find out more at realestateguysradio.com.
If you want to retire in the next 5 years or less through real estate, then please pay close attention. My name is Brad Sumrock, and I've taught thousands of my students how to replace their incomes, quit their jobs, and retire faster than they ever thought possible by not investing in single-family homes. You see, there's a secret to retiring fast with little risk, and it has nothing to do with being a landlord, fixing toilets, or flipping houses. The secret is multifamily apartment buildings. Starting from scratch with zero experience, I managed to pocket over $1 million in cash and retire from my 17-year corporate job within 3 years of apartment investing. Now, this is not your typical no-money-down real estate training. We believe in smart, hard work for intelligent people. So if you're good with your finances, have a decent job, or saving your money, and you're looking for a change and getting out of the rat race, then investing in apartment buildings might just be the answer you've been looking for. Send an email right now to Sumrock at realestateguysradio.com to get the details of my upcoming training event, and you'll also receive my free training webinar, Apartment Investing for Beginners. That's Sumrock, S-U-M-R-O-K, at realestateguysradio.com.
Forbes rated Memphis the best cash flow market in the nation. And our good friend Terry Kerr at Mid-South Home Buyers has been the premier turnkey rental property provider in Memphis for over 13 years. With an A-plus rating from the Better Business Bureau, Terry has renovated over 750 houses. Real Estate Guys listeners have snapped up hundreds. Discover what these satisfied investors already know. Mid-South's properties are completely renovated with a one-year warranty and a lifelong rental guarantee. They're affordable, well-managed, and easy to own. Perfect for beginning investors and veterans alike. Get in on the action. Contact Terry and his team via email at midsouth@realestateguysradio.com.
Hi, this is Kendra Todd, winner of The Apprentice, and you're listening to The Real Estate Guys.
And welcome back to The Real Estate Guys radio program, feeling younger every day, talking with and about millennials, the generation that has an opportunity to change the world. Very excited about that. Now, we're with Sean Gray today, and Sean, we've watched you literally grow up, but also one of the things we've asked you to do this year on the Investor Summit is to lead a millennial mastermind, if you will. Last year, there were, I don't know, maybe a dozen folks in the millennial age group, and you guys spent time together, hung out. I remember putting you all at one table for dinner one night, and just turned out because of the way seating worked that Ross McAllister ended up at your table, and I went over and said, oh, you're not supposed to be there. And like, you guys were all digging him. He was digging you. Pretty cool stuff. So let's talk a little about the summit, because you've been on the summit many years, but in the last couple of years, it's really been a different experience for you.
Yeah. Well, when I was first started coming, I was coming just as a kid, and I was hoping to just have a good time and run around the ship and have fun. For the past couple of years now, I've really come as a student and a participant. And
a paid participant, by the way. You pay to go. I mean, you didn't when you were a little kid, but today you pay to go. And that's a pretty big distinction, right? It'd be easy for your dad and I to go, oh, no way, Sean, let him in. But that's not the decision we made. And you had to make a decision about, would it be worth the money to come?
No, it was huge. And I had to make that decision. And I could have easily said, I can't afford it. But one of the things that Kiyosaki's taught me is to open your mind up and ask better questions. And how can I afford it? So I scraped together, you know, enough money to make it on the summit. And it was, I appreciate that now. From you guys, because I had skin in the game and I took it a lot more serious. So I got a lot more out of it because I did pay to be there.
Well, that's such a great point anyway. Anytime you get something for free, you just will never be as appreciative as if you paid the price. It doesn't have to be monetarily, but if you paid the price for whatever lesson, it's going to mean that for sure. So, in fact, we did a panel and a show afterwards that was so powerful about generational wealth. And obviously, you know, my dad and your dad and you, and we ended up with Jeffrey Verdon, who's an estate planning attorney. We had a great, great session about this idea of building wealth generationally. On the summit, you talk about building businesses generationally, but getting some of these millennials together to really talk, not at a superficial how's it going level, but at a how are we going to move the needle level is going to be amazing.
Yeah, well, being around those people was incredible. And the thoughts and the conversations are not the typical thoughts and conversations of the millennials out in the rest of the world or hanging out at the bar or in college or anything like that. You mentioned being able to sit at the table with Ross McAllister. That wasn't the only faculty member that we got to sit with. We got to sit with a ton.
Right.
And we got to ask some really awesome questions, and it was incredible because, like Russ was saying, these are people who we wouldn't otherwise have access to, but because we invested and were in that environment, we were able to leverage the advice and gain the wisdom of these super successful people.
Who all seem to be interested in what's going on with the younger folks. I mean, they're totally inclusive, which is amazing. It was so heartwarming for us to watch Robert Kiyosaki stand up and personally commend you on the amazing job you did running the cash flow game, which was great. We always play cash flow when we do the summit. And if you've not played before, it's a fun environment to come and learn and play the game in. And if you played before, come for sure, because Sean needs the help proctoring the event.
Yes, I do. That would be huge. But no, that was a dream come true when Robert stood up there and said, and you know, one thing about the summit is the relationships that get built. Now, I have a personal relationship with a lot of the Rich Dad advisors and a lot of super successful business people, entrepreneurs, and investors. And an experience that I wouldn't have otherwise have had, we were on the private catamaran, and I was sitting next to Robert, and thankful for you, you said, hey, Robert's over there by himself, go sit down. And it was nerve-wracking at first. This is one of my business heroes.
He's a little intimidating.
He can be a little intimidating. He's intense, too. So I went up, but we ended up talking for, I think, an hour and a half, just one-on-one, and I got some incredible lessons from him there. And that's priceless. Priceless.
Such good stuff. Hey, we've done something this year we're very excited about, and that is we had a great number of folks your age, but one of the real barriers that people have is coming up with the money, right? I mean, it's a lot of money. The summit is not inexpensive. Plus, it's a huge time commitment. And we have such a heart for this that last year we made the announcement to the alumni that we would have a special millennial rate. If you're 25 years old or younger, now obviously some millennials are older than that, but hopefully by then you've made your way in the world enough to decide if this is worth the money and time for you. But if you're 25 years or younger, we have a millennial rate of just $2,500, which is half of what the summit would normally cost, because we're really after getting young people who want to make a difference on the boat. It's not free, but it's a lot less than it would normally be. So to get the information on that, and not only that, we don't want money to hold you back. And one of the most amazing things that happened the last day of this year's summit was we shared this idea and we invited the folks in the room to consider being part of a scholarship. And we had many, many folks agree to sponsor some young people. So if you're thinking, I really want to be there and I would love to go and I would love to hang out with Tom Hopkins and G. Edward Griffin and Peter Schiff and the Real Estate Guys and Sean Gray and a host of others, and money is the only thing keeping you down, there's a scholarship program available. To find out about all that, rather than us yammer on about it, if you're interested, if you have a millennial in your life, if you have a young person or you are one, just send an email to millennial, which is not that easy of a word to spell, but you're going to have to figure it out because that's the first test. A millennial at realestateguysradio.com will tell you all about the program. I will tell you this, anyone who's in that age group is eligible for the rate, and we have exactly 30 spaces, of which about 8 are taken right now. But the scholarship is more limited. You're going to have to jump through some hoops and apply if you're interested in that. But all the details at millennial at realestateguysradio.com. Well, Sean, it's always great talking with you, and thanks for what you're doing in the world. Folks who come on the summit are going to get a chance to pick your brain and hang out. And you never know when Sean's going to show up at a Real Estate Guys event. He'll either be holding court with millennials or helping us tear the speakers down, one of the two. Thanks for being on the program.
My pleasure. Thank you very much.
All right. Good stuff. Hey, Russell Gray, it's got to be pretty gratifying to watch this young man blossom awesome like he has. And you're right, he teaches us as much as we teach him.
It is. You know, Sean and his friends have given me a lot of hope for the future. And at my age, with everything going on in the world, hope is a great thing to have.
Next week on The Real Estate Guys, we're going to talk about the amazing power of your retirement funds, how you can invest those in real estate. And we'll get an update on the new laws that are part of that. In the meantime, you go out and make some equity happen.
This episode of the Real Estate Guys Radio Show is brought to you by Paradigm Life, powerful cash management strategies using life insurance. Learn more at beyourbank.com. Mid-South Home Buyers, low-cost, turnkey cash flow properties in Memphis, Tennessee. Corporate Direct, asset protection strategies for real estate investors from attorney and rich dad advisor Garrett Sutton. Find these and other great companies under the Resources tab at realestateguysradio.com. To learn how you can expose your product or service to the Real Estate Guys audience, call 888-489-7723 extension 4. That's 888-489-7723 extension 4. Or use the feedback page at realestateguysradio.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week right here on the Real Estate Guys Radio Show.